Whether your business is small or large, your ambitions for it are always big. And at Santander, so are ours. That's why we've been awarded Business Bank of the Year for 4 years running. Because no matter what size your business, we have dedicated local business relationship managers who'll help you along the way. So with us in your corner, the sky's the limit. Visit santanderbusiness.co.uk to find out more. Here to help your business prosper. Santander.
Business Money Facts Award 2015 to 2018.
It's a good show.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm. And you'll find out what happened to Frankenstein and other stuff that never happened. Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
And I'm distracted.
You get excited.
I get excited about the RC cars now.
It's good that you have a hobby.
Rachel was out of town last week. That's all I did. I painted and trimmed my RC cars, and I went on many bike rides. And I saw a bear last week.
Yeah,
did I tell you that?
We didn't talk about that.
I saw it on the day that the show came out on Tuesday.
Yeah,
I think I saw the bear. Or did no.
Yeah, we talked about it on Friday when we were doing something else, but we didn't talk about it on the show.
I saw it on Monday.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I don't know when. I don't know what happened.
No, I don't think
it was Tuesday.
About it.
I saw a bear.
Yeah, because when I saw you Friday, it was big news.
Yeah, bike riding, bear right there. Bear.
Where at?
Up and off the Angeles, like Angeles Crest, nice. La Cañada, Flint Ridge.
Yeah, like that area.
That area. And we arrived, three of us. Shout out to Dylan, Kevin. They're out there. They listen.
Yeah. Kyle, Dylan, and Kevin.
Yeah.
We
lost Colin.
Trouble.
Colin moved up to, we sound like if you made the Karate Kid now, we'd be the Cobra Kai.
What about Chad and Tyler?
They may as well join on. But, all of a sudden we go over the bridge. Dylan's out in front. He's like, I think I saw something. It might have been a dog. And right away, I'm like, there's no way it's a fucking dog. But I'm the dumb one. So I think it was a bear. I'm like, a bear? I put my bike down and start walking towards it. I want to see a bear.
Did you pick up a rock?
No, I just kind of like put my bike down and like walked like, because it was a little bridge we went over. And that thing hauled ass out from under the bridge and up the side of the hill. And then we hauled ass the other way. And then we get down to where the trail is ending, closer by the parking lot. And there's a bobcat just in the trail hissing at us. And we're like, too late, man.
Yeah, that's old news.
Yeah, we already saw a bear.
Uh-huh.
Like normally, if you were on your own, bobcat, oh, boy.
Uh-huh.
Something to talk about. Something to write home about.
But it can't follow a bear.
But no, don't jump out like, ooh, like, no. You got nothing on a bear.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
I don't know. The heat's making nature kind of nutty.
Could be.
Hot one out there.
Oh, it's so hot.
It was, I left Palm Springs today. It was 110.
110 degrees.
110.
I was in Palm Springs earlier this week.
Yeah, we did. We both did a little Palm Springs trip with the missuses.
Odd that both of our misses had birthdays this week, and we both.
That's a strong drink.
We both took them to Palm Springs separately.
Well, I didn't take my girlfriend. My girlfriend was like, I'm going to Palm Springs for my birthday if you want to go. I was like, can I go? Can I join you?
Rachel does have that independent spirit.
Oh, she's like, I want to do this. She was working in Atlanta all week. Then she came home. I'm like, I want to go to Palm Springs for the weekend. I'm like, okay, I would like to also.
Yeah. Well, that's good, man.
Yeah. But it was, I got into, I saw a temperature gauge in my car, got to 95, and I was like, oh, this is refreshing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not just sweating through my pants.
Yeah.
Like, I just wore my swimsuit out there and wore it back. I'm like, I'm not putting... I'm upset about the one layer of clothes I have to be wearing by law.
Yeah.
That place, there's a Nest camera on the pool. Whatever, you're going to see my dick. I don't care. I assume Airbnbs all videotape everyone.
Yeah. I don't care.
I don't either. This one.
I got nothing to hide.
This one had, I just still don't get sleep all weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's got one of those pool, it's got a pool vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it was so hot out, it's like you get in the pool and you're like, this is just a little bit. Refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly feels like sweat
because
that's how hot it is. But it's got one of those pool vacuums on wheels that goes around and gets the whole thing. But it would creep up the wall of the pool. But then when the vacuum would get outside of the wall, it would make this kind of like this horrible like this hissing sound because it's air instead of just water going to the vacuum, which would scare the shit out of me every time it would happen, and it wouldn't turn off. So, like, in the middle of the night, 3 a.m., you're like, oh, here's just pleasant, silent Palm Springs, just a desert night. And then just this fucking hissing, scowling sound.
Wow.
And even though you know what it is, it still scares the shit out of you. Mm-hmm. And I was getting to the point where I was so tired, and the house made so many noises, like loud banging noises when the air conditioning would go off. Mm-hmm. It was so quick before I'm like, oh, is it an intruder? Is it a ghost? Before I was like, I don't care. I'm just so tired. Whatever it is, just do what you got to do.
Huh.
But loud, a very noisy house.
So the Airbnb had its own pool?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, it's the only way to do it out there.
That's cool.
Otherwise, just get a hotel room.
We stayed at like a resort. We stayed at the Renaissance. Just a big, sprawling resort. Had a nice room overlooking the pool.
Yeah.
Three floors up, just right there overlooking the pool. Oh, it was nice. It was real nice. So hot. When I pulled up, though, 112 on the car thermometer, and I got out, and it was like, I mean, it took my breath away.
Yeah.
Literally. I was like, oh. Like, it was a whole new level of heat that I had never experienced. I don't know if I've been anywhere that hot.
We were out there last summer, and Rachel and I got out to go get something to eat, and all of a sudden we're like fighting with each other on the sidewalk, and we both are like, wait, we're not mad. It's a million degrees outside, and we immediately turned on each other, which so much for teamwork in the face of adversity when it comes to us.
Ugh.
We're like, let's just get in the shade. Let's figure it out. Like, it's not us. We're not mad.
Yeah.
It's just too hot to exist right now.
Oh, man, we had a blast. We stayed just two nights, and I was going to take her out for a nice birthday meal on her actual birthday, but it came about 4 o'clock. And she's like, "Where'd you want to take me tonight?" And I told her, and she just goes, "They have carry out, and I forgot the name of the restaurant, some Italian seafood joint." But Katie was like, "You know what? I think I'd rather just stay in bed and eat takeout."
Sometimes that's the way to do it.
It was so great, man. Went and got some good. She got some crazy seafood pasta thing with mussels and clams and all kinds of shit.
Oh, yeah?
I got this weird. What do they call it? Carbonara thing.
Yeah.
Pasta. Anyway, it was great. Just sitting in bed, just eating expensive takeout.
Oh, it's
in
luxury. It's luxurious. It's like when you're on the road and you treat yourself to a bed dinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good time.
That's you got a room with two beds in it when you're on the road. Sometimes like one for eating, one for sleeping. I'm getting one spread out. Put a towel down so I don't look like I killed somebody on the sheets.
Yeah. I always opt for the two beds because usually, not all the time, but many times those rooms are bigger than if you just get one king bed.
I mean, I don't need this. I mean, I'm not like trying to do laps.
Yeah, I know, but I just, I feel like I'm getting more for my money.
You like the luxury. I like to stretch out.
I like the square footage.
Well.
But yeah, man.
Palm's pretty, I bet there's going to be some creepy history out there we can dive into.
I think so.
Those mountains, it looks like Mars. For people that aren't familiar, mm-hmm. Palm Springs, desert resort community.
100 miles east of LA.
Yeah, you get a couple hours outside of there. But all the mountains, it's got mountains, but it looks like Mars. Mm-hmm. It looks just rock, just barren landscape all around this oasis.
Yeah.
And it's all like the 50s and 60s history of that. All the old showbiz types would live out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Salt and Sea. We started while we were talking about Salt and Sea, so we watched that John Waters documentary about Salt and Sea.
Oh, I don't know that.
Yeah. It's supposed to be this resort community.
Huh.
And they created the lake. You know about Salton Sea, right?
How
they
I've been there.
Yeah, and they created the lake, but then it had an inlet but no outlet. So the water just kind of would stay there and the fish. You watch a documentary. I'm not going to do it justice. But
yeah, there's a bunch of fish skeletons all over the place.
Yeah, these fish, they keep multiplying.
Mm-hmm.
It was they were saying like something like the fish die and then the dead fish actually help the algae that the fish feed on, so more fish grow because they're eating the algae from the dead fish, and then they die.
Hmm.
And it's all these abandoned resorts. It's like real spooky.
Huh.
Failed effort.
Yeah.
Failed civil planning.
Welcome back, buddy. You got back today.
Thanks, man. I got back like an hour ago.
Oh, really?
Maybe an hour and a half ago.
I got back Thursday.
Yeah.
And on my commute back from Palm Springs, driving back home to L.A., stopped to get some gas.
Okay.
And fortunately, and many thanks due to our wonderful patrons, fortunately, I don't have to check my bank account every day, every time I buy a burrito, hoping that it that I don't overdraw on an $8 burrito.
Well, we've all been in those thin times.
God, I spent years in that tax bracket and just barely out of it now. I mean, I'm not playing with a lot of money, but I'm just finally at the point where I literally, you know, I can go buy lunch confidently without having to check my balance beforehand. Anyway, driving back from Palm Springs, stopped and got some gas, and sure enough, the old debit card got declined. And I was like, what the hell is this? Ooh. I know I got a few bucks in there. And come to find out, I got hacked. Somebody, and this happened, okay, I don't want to bury the lead here, but okay, this first incident, I find out they withdrew everything out of my account but $8. Somebody in Tampa, Florida, went in to a Bank of America, not an ATM transaction, went in to the teller, met with a teller, withdrawled everything out of my account minus $8. They left me $8. Somebody had a David Stone fake ID and somehow had my either a fake debit card or my checking account number or something. So they did that on Thursday. I call. I'm like panicked. I'm like, that ain't me. That's all my money. What can we do? An hour later, they're talking to four different people.
How's that when they say, like, when you get, like, is this a suspicious charge?
Yeah.
And they, because it's not a location you're near.
I get that all the time. Every time I go out of state and I try to buy gas, it gets declined. And then they're like, is this you? And I'm texting them back, yes, it's me. And then we're fine. So anyway, Thursday that happened. They put the money back. Fortunately, Bank of America, I convinced them that it's not me. They put the money back. The very next day, same person did it again. Now, this time, because it happened twice, they got to do an investigation, and I'll get my money back between 5 and 60 days.
Yeah, banks are chumps.
Yeah, and I don't have diversified funds. Yeah. I don't have a lot of accounts. I don't have shit stashed in everything I've got is in the. I have a savings account that does it. Kind of, you know, they'll take it a little bit.
Summer of 18, not going great for old Dave Stone.
I have $8 to my name. Fortunately, God bless my mom. I told her about it, and she, you know, I wasn't asking. I was and she was like, hold on. You pay, but mom, 41 years old, had to get a loan from my mom. Thank God. So between now and 60 days, I'm going to get that original money back, and then I'll just pay her back. But, like, what if I didn't have, you know, what if somebody couldn't float me a loan?
Yeah.
You're just supposed to be without all of your money for 60 days? And I'm telling Bank of America, I'm like, hey, whoever did it the first day is the same person did it the second day. And they got to do an investigation. I'm like, what do I got to do to prove to you that I was not in Tampa, Florida? That was not me who went in, took my own money, and then cried wolf.
Yeah, but a bank would have to act in the interests of its customers, which that's why I am no longer with Chase Bank. And if they all burst into flames, I would be delighted by it. Yeah, man, it sucks. I know everybody says credit union, but that's hard to do. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you got to do something with your money. It's got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Banks are the place it goes to, and they know that, and they're trash about it.
So Bank of America got fooled by this scammer, and now I'm being penalized.
Yeah.
Y'all got tricked, and I'm being penalized.
That's what happened to me. I didn't notice I was being robbed early enough.
Mm-hmm.
So it was my fault.
Wow.
Because they would take out like $1.20, like these weird innocuous charges that weren't. Nothing was ringing any bells, you know? So they do that to test. Oh, you didn't notice? Cool, I'm taking out, you know, 150 here, 75 there within 2 days. And I'm like, oh, these are. But the charges, the 28 cents they took out was 5 weeks before, and I didn't report that soon enough.
Wow.
So, yeah, banks can suck an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any, I don't think anybody out there is like, hold on, what about the banks, those poor guys?
Banks and insurance companies.
The banks, insurance companies, credit card companies. Insurance, it's sad that you need it. Banks, if everybody wanted to just be like, nah, I'm just going to hang on to my money. Granted, that's never going to happen. But
yeah. So, yeah. I Lord knows when I'll get that damn money back.
Yeah, man.
So between 5 and 60 days, just hang tight. We'll get it back to you. But yeah, some asshole went in and they did the first day. They just went into the bank and did a teller withdrawal, took all my money. put it back.
So but they made a fake ID?
I guess. The second day, they did a teller withdrawal and two ATM withdrawals. So the ATM withdrawals tells me that not only do they have my fake ID to go in and deal with the teller, but they have a fake debit card with my account number. So.
Well.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, banks are filth.
And I have never, up until now, I've never really given a shit about identity theft or being hacked.
Yeah, man.
Because in the past, it's like, all right, well, good luck with those $14 and that beacon score. Have fun with that. But
yeah, I remember I got robbed at gunpoint. That was years ago. And then I had my identity stolen a week later. And I still respected the guy who robbed me at gunpoint more. It's like, all right, you at least went out and earned it.
Yeah.
Chicken shit went in just like, I'm stealing your stuff. Yeah, I'm trying to be positive, man.
Yeah.
But I don't have a lot of. Ooh, man. Trying to stay positive.
Yeah.
Trying to be on the up and up. There's scumbags out there.
Mm-hmm.
B of A will get you your money back.
Yeah, eventually.
How long have you been with B of A?
I've only been with them a couple of years because prior to that, I was with Wells Fargo. I think I told you this story.
They just keep getting.
Wells Fargo. I had one too many of those fraud alerts. Like I was saying, like I travel all the time, and I guess you're supposed to call the bank and go, "Hey, so you know, the next week I'm going to be in Georgia, Florida, Tennessee."
Like your Nana.
Yeah,
you gotta let her know.
So, Wells Fargo. A couple years ago, I was in the middle of a tour, and
that's right.
Had one too many in that week. I had two or three fraud alerts of like, "Hey, somebody's trying to buy gas on your account in Texas." I'm like, "Yeah, that's me." And then the next day, "Somebody's trying to buy gas in Louisiana." Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, they're
got one too many of those. They froze and then terminated my account. Not freeze and let's get to the bottom of this and make sure it's you. They terminated my account. No explanation. I talked to several people. They're like, there's some algorithm where if too many of those pop up, they just terminated my account in the middle of a tour, kept my money for 12 business days.
Well,
so that's why I was no longer with Wells Fargo. So fuck them too.
Banks are great people. Mm-hmm. Banks are honest, great people, and we're all so thankful that they exist and that they got a bailout from the government.
The good news is...
Yeah, what's good news, Dave?
I had some great Cuban food the other day.
Yeah. Talk about good things, man.
I get excited.
Positivity. PMA.
Get excited.
Let's get at it. What kind of Cuban food did you get?
Oh, my God. To quote George Costanza in the Curb Your Enthusiasm, the Seinfeld reunion version of Curb... He's like, somebody says something about, I've already fucked it up. But he just says, yeah, that's how I feel about Cuban food. I never like it until I'm eating it. And I never appreciate it. But yeah, I always forget about Cuban food. And and when I'm thinking about my daily lunch options. And
I picture in my head a globe or just a flat map of the world. Like, what do I want to eat? And I try to think regionally.
Hmm.
Like what area of the world of food I haven't had in a while?
Interesting. Yeah, I never look at
like
it that way.
Eastern European or something.
Okay.
Well, this is Spain.
But yeah, you know, nothing too exotic. I had a Cuban sandwich and arroz con pollo, chicken and rice.
Oh, rice, yeah, chicken and rice.
Boy, so good. They do this thing. I don't even know the name of the place. It's in Atwater, the storefront. It's right there in the strip with all those bars
and shops.
Let's
get its props. I'm going to look it up. Atwater Cuban food.
The sign just says Cuban food. But they do this thing with the arroz con pollo,
Baracoa?
That's it.
Baracoa Cuban Cafe?
Very good. Very tasty. They cook their rice in chicken broth. So the rice is all chickeny. Ooh, boy. Real good.
There's a comedian, Mike Furman, had a joke about eating chilaquiles, because that's chicken and eggs. And the joke, he's just like, I like to call that dish, y tu mama también. Have I said that before?
You have, but it's still a good...
It's worth a great joke.
It's worth repeating.
I'll put it back out in the world. Uh-huh. Remind everybody that's a good joke.
And explain to me what that means again in Spanish.
And your mother, too.
That's right.
It's an insult. Right. And your mother also.
But yeah, I love Cuban food. Shout out to Poppy's in Atlanta. That was my go-to spot. Poppy's has great Cuban sandwiches, and they also have a ropa vieja sandwich. You ever had a ropa vieja?
Old rope.
Oh, the old shredded beef. Ooh. They put – this was just real simple. They had they start with that great French bread, a nice slather of mayonnaise, Swiss cheese, and then just the stewed beef and onions that have been stewing all day. Mm. So the key with Pappy's – or I guess this would apply to almost any Cuban restaurant. You go there with a buddy – One of you orders the Cuban, one of you orders the rope of Vieja.
Little halvesies.
Little halvesies, because they cut it in half anyway. And, oh boy, good times, good times. But, yeah, big fan of the old Cuban food. Did you guys eat anything out there in Palm Springs?
I just said, what did I get? I got crab. I'm trying to think what I had. I got crab. Crab legs.
Oh, I love crab
legs. I'm a fish guy now.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm trying to stay off the red meat and everything. Yeah. And chicken, land meat.
Uh-huh.
So I'm eating sea meat.
Nice. I love seafood.
Yeah, I'm trying to get more into it. I was never a fish guy. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, well, now you are trying to be. So I'll order a fish when I go. And I'm like, oh, this is great. Why was I always so squeamish? I never grew up on fish.
Oh, I love
fish. I'd processed fish. Mm-hmm. Fish sticks. We had it on Friday. You know, Catholics, we talk about that. The Catholic stuff. We have fish on Fridays. It was the only time. So we get filet of fish with cheese on it.
Man, that I forgot to mention this last week. But on my birthday last week... I wasn't even trying to be funny, but somebody asked me the other day, what'd you do on your birthday? I was like, I went to the grocery store twice. Went to the grocery store twice on my birthday. That's just...
Well, because you forgot something or because...
No, just we went in the morning to get some stuff, and then we went later in the day. But anyway, on my birthday, I just doing a little tire kicking back at the back in the seafood department of out where we were. They have Stater Brothers. Went to the Stater Brothers. They had whole lobsters on sale. Typically like $25 a pound. These were like $13 a pound. Got two whole lobsters. They cut them open for me and cleaned them out and got them all prepped for me there.
You don't get the live ones?
No, I didn't want to deal with that. But they cut them open, cleaned them, and stuck those suckers on the grill. Just had whole lobsters. I grilled them.
Yeah?
Later that night, yeah. Just got some garlic butter and just put those suckers on there and brushed them with the garlic butter every now and then. Grilled whole lobster.
Yeah.
Pfft, my mind was blown. It was delicious.
Do you know lobsters, like, they live forever?
Do they really? I don't believe that.
That's why they throw back all the mating lobsters. There's like a notch in the tail.
They really?
Tell it's a female. So you can get a lobster that's, I'm going to look up, oldest lobster.
I knew those tortoises live a long time.
Geoduck, a species of saltwater, no, it's clams. I just asked about... Somebody caught a sturgeon that was 125 years old.
You know, some of those tortoises can live to be
George the Lobster 300. Was estimated to be about 140 years old by PETA. Fuck PETA. He's old. They don't know. Well, I just found a website called oldest.org.
Huh.
This is going to take me away.
I used to have a joke about tortoises living 300 years. And like that means that somewhere right now there's a tortoise floating around that survived the Civil War. It's like, ooh. It's rough times. Brother gets brother.
I had a joke about how I wouldn't get a girlfriend flowers. I would get her a tortoise.
Yeah? Why?
Those flowers you're giving somebody. Here, watch these die. Tortoise. That doesn't represent eternal love. Tortoise does.
Outlive her.
Yeah. And then you can just paint the shell according to the, okay, like happy birthday. And you'll scoot it out in the living room.
I like turtles.
Patrick. There's a lobster named Patrick. And I think it's over 50 years old.
I wonder if that'd be good to eat.
50-year-old lobster?
Probably tough. A little chewy.
Give me, what do you want to ask the oldest.org now that we know that that's a website?
Ooh. Oldest elephant?
Oldest elephant. Elephant coming up. One elephant coming up. Oldest mammals. Oh, I thought it would just be like, a list of different elephants. No, this is, see, now it's just saying, oh, a giraffe's been around for 12 million years. Well, this isn't interesting.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about how long
one,
the species
I want a picture
there.
Of one elephant.
Uh-huh.
Like, this is Rick.
Like when they interview the 114-year-old man in Indonesia who can barely keep his eyes open.
Oh, God, yeah, that guy's just like, I've been wanting to die for 4 decades.
Could you imagine being 114 years old?
Like, yeah, what's your mind doing every day?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, where's like your mental capacity? If you're are you awake even anymore? Do you know you're that old? I mean, that's a real question. Like, I forget. Yeah. Like, I compare myself to like 41. I think about what other people were doing at my age.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Like, I remember being. 11 and my dad being 41 and just working and taking his, you know, karate classes and working midnights and having two kids and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't do any of that stuff.
No.
I live a child's life. Mm-hmm. Rachel's gone last week. I sat at that. There's plastic bits all over the living room because I was just trimming RC car bodies. I watched all three seasons of Better Call Saul.
What'd you think?
I liked it very much. I'm excited. That's how distracted I was. I trimmed all that, and then I went on a lot of bike rides and saw a bear. Mm-hmm. And I was like Home Alone.
Yeah.
I was like, I made my model cars, and I went on a bike ride, and I saw wild animals, and nobody could tell me I couldn't. Like, I live like an 11-year-old
whose
parents just left him money.
That's great, though, buddy.
No, it is, but I don't feel my age. If you're 117, maybe you just lived a certain way where you're like, I feel like I'm 80.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
Imagine having 37 years of memories of being like, man, I remember when I was 80 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, just like being nostalgic for being 80.
That's crazy.
Back in my 80s, oh boy, imagine, I was out there living.
Imagine being able to remember 100 years ago. If you're 114.
I don't think you can.
Remember, I mean, just imagine. Like, 100 years ago, I was a teenager. That's insane. Do you think when you get, aside from like dementia and, you know, clinical memory loss and stuff, but if you were just a normal 114-year-old, I mean, their memory, they can go back. They have childhood memories, don't you think?
What?
And if that's the case, then you've got.
I mean, what capacity? You got the same memory card everybody else has. How much gets filled up? I mean,
that's true.
I can't remember. My own life, I can't remember shit about.
Have we talked about your earliest memory?
10.
Do you remember your earliest?
We were talking about that. Yeah. We had talked about that one.
Mine's. I remember my first birthday.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I remember fairly vividly.
Do you remember your second birthday?
No.
Well, see, there you go.
I think I was working that day. But no, I do remember.
I was trying to get in the union. I couldn't fuck it up.
I remember my first birthday because I was playing with this box. Somebody had gotten me a gift and wrapped it. And it was just whatever. I don't remember what the gift was. It was a big box. And I thought that was the gift. I was like, oh, this big blue box. I was wrestling with it, throwing it around the living room, laying on top of it, farting on it. I was just like, this is a great gift.
Just doing it all wrong.
Mm-hmm. But in my whole like childhood and stuff, I thought that was like my third or fourth birthday. And then when I was a teenager, I saw a picture of it. And I was like, oh, there's that blue box. I remember vividly. And my mom was like, yeah, there's your first birthday. It's like, that was my first birthday? Because I remember that shit.
Really?
Yeah. I think that means I'm super fucking smart, dude.
I mean, if you want to go with that, or it means you're not because you didn't put any knowledge in there to push that memory out.
That's true, too.
I remember I got a box when I was one.
That's about it.
And then I passed my driver's license test.
I know some baseball facts.
And I ate Cuban food last week.
That's all that's in my brain.
The rest of it is just open storage, waiting to be filled with anything else interesting.
That's probably more the case.
We were on the Tinfoil Hat podcast last week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that was fun. Old Sam Tripley, comedy pal from way back when.
Well, he's a maniac in a good way.
Yeah, his co-host, right? I'm just laughing because I'm reading the comments on the YouTube video of how many people are upset that we didn't take it seriously on a show that starts the title card from their network, All Things Comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Their podcast is on a show called All Things Comedy.
What did we not take seriously?
I guess we just didn't get to talking about cryptids soon enough.
Huh.
And a lot of people just wishing elsewhere. But it looks good. Visually, it looks good. Should we, like, have cameras?
Should we
do this in a studio?
You know, I think...
I'm wearing a swimsuit and a shirt I've had on for 3 days.
I think a couple of dudes is good looking and easy on the eyes as us. That's... I think we're doing a disservice to the people by not letting them see this Beefcake show.
So I'm looking at this one and it looks fun enough, but then you got to have editors. I don't know, man. Yeah. Why does somebody want to watch a podcast?
I do that sometimes. Good. I you know what I you know what I watch the most on my Roku, more than Netflix or Hulu or anything? I just love getting on YouTube and just watching shit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, some of these podcasts, I'll see stuff on there and just...
Because I guess if you have YouTube on your phone, you could just play it without the visual.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're still listening to it there. Let us know.
Yeah.
Tune in. We've been a little lack about getting back to some of the emails and Facebook, as we always are. Mm-hmm. This is the thing. We're going to talk about putting more effort into this.
Yeah.
We don't put the effort in to just do this much well.
Well.
And now you want to set up cameras?
We're turning things around. We're putting forth more.
We're on a professional network
now.
We want to go into a studio.
Yeah.
Have actual times we got to be places.
I mean, that's the thing.
That's a drag.
You know, you like to keep it nice and loose. You know, just come over.
Yeah,
whenever.
I'm not trying. I'm trying to be a job.
You know,
I'm trying to
set up some cameras here in the annex.
Oh yeah, we can barely get the sound quality right after 2 years of doing this shit. You think we're gonna do visual and lighting and editing?
Yeah, we'll get some people over here.
We're in the dark right now.
I like it. I like it a lot.
We got a fucking visual component to this.
Should we get into
fuckery?
It?
Let's do it. 30 okay. minutes in.
This is
what the tinfoil hat kids got upset about.
Yeah.
That's the pace we run it around here.
Imagine getting upset at a podcast. We've talked about this before.
Well, no, I just like that they were upset that the subject wasn't. They're like, oh, you guys are just making jokes. And it's on a network called All Things Comedy.
Yeah. Just making jokes. Well, let's get into today's topic. This is a story that I've heard about for a long time, and it's pretty fascinating if it's true. That's the big if. But I don't remember this, even though I should. May 18th, 1980. I was not quite 3 years old. Devastating natural disaster created an entirely new landscape across a specific portion of Washington State. I'm, of course, talking about the eruption of Mount St. Helens. It killed more than four dozen people, as well as thousands of wild animals. 8:32 a.m. on May 18th, 1980, a magnitude 5.1 earthquake. And that's pretty big, right? 5.1. It's pretty hardy, right?
I mean... They go from 1 to 10.
Yeah. Do they go from 1 to 10?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know. I didn't know where it capped out. But yeah, I think anything above, like, I think 5 is pretty hardy.
Maybe. I just thought they stopped at 10.
Well, it wasn't necessarily the earthquake itself that created the destruction.
Yeah.
The earthquake caused a series of events. The volcano erupted. The earthquake caused the volcano to erupt. The volcano's northern bulge and summit slid away as like just a huge landslide. I've never experienced a landslide, you know, kind of like a unsnowy avalanche. Can avalanches? That's a good question.
Avalanche?
Can you have a snowless avalanche, or is an avalanche just snow?
An avalanche is snow, landslide is land.
I think I answered it before I even asked the question.
No, you're doing all right.
I'm on top of this. Huge landslide.
Mudslide is when the land is wet.
Okay, that's true. Largest debris avalanche in recorded history of the Earth at the time. I don't know if anything's happened since that's bigger, but at the time, largest avalanche.
It is a 1 through 10, yeah.
So, get this. The total avalanche volume, 3.3 billion cubic yards, to kind of put that into perspective.
Football fields? Tell me in football fields.
I'm not going to tell you football fields. I'm going to tell you in Olympic-sized swimming pools. That's the other one. It's either football fields or Olympic-sized swimming pools. 1 million Olympics. Size swimming pool.
How deep is an Olympic size? See, every time they use a sports measurement, what if you don't know sports?
I mean, I don't think you have to know the exact measurements, but you see the Olympics, you see those guys swimming around in those giant pools. Just think of a million of those.
I always thought I didn't think like an Olympic size swim. I thought they would just make whatever pool usable for the Olympics.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think
No, I have no fucking idea how big an Olympic size swimming pool is. How far do they swim? It's a useless measurement.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know how far they swim. 50 yards?
Here's a we're going to tell you this measurement and the thing you only mildly pay attention to once every 4 years. Anyway, I guess it's a lot.
The U.S. Geological Survey stated, quote, The lateral blast devastated an area nearly 19 miles from west to east, more than 12 miles northward from the former summit, and an inner zone extending nearly 6 miles from the summit. So it's just devastation everywhere. No trees remained on what was once a dense forest, and demonstrating the incredible and deadly power unleashed that day, the USGS says, quote, over the course of the day, prevailing winds blew 520 million tons of ash eastward across the U.S., caused complete darkness over Spokane, Washington. 250 miles away was Spokane. Completely dark that day in Spokane.
That's such an eerie feeling when the sky... That's when I was out last week and just all the fires that... I didn't even know there was fires in Orange County that were south now. I knew it was all Northern California. Mm-hmm. But just how it was creeping up. Like, we were up in the campground, up like Chileo campground up in Angeles Crest. And she's like, it's a beautiful sunset, uh-huh. which you have to realize is because everything's on fire.
Yeah.
But then also just the next day in the morning, seeing how much worse it was from the night before.
Wow. And all
that. But the fact that it, darkness, like, blocked out the sun.
Yeah.
That's like, when it's real ashy, it's odd because the sun is a red ball in the mm-hmm. sky. When it's covered with ash.
Yeah.
Like, that, or smoke. But the fact that it's darkness, that's... Ooh, what an eerie feeling.
Apocalyptic.
Yeah, very much so.
So 250 miles away to the east, Spokane, Washington, completely blacked out that day. Major ash falls occurred as far away as central Montana, and ash fell visibly as far eastward as the Great Plains of the central U.S. Get this, that was about 900 miles away. The ash cloud spread across the U.S. in 3 days and circled the earth in 15 days. So in 15 days, this ash... went out, covered the, did the whole route, and came back. Circled
looped
the globe.
Around.
Yeah, 15 days. So what's the point of me talking about all this devastation? Okay, so Mount St. Helens erupts, just landslides, just chaos, just wiping out everything, just lava, ash, all kinds of shit. Bunch of animals died, bunch of people died. Amongst the animals, it is rumored... that anywhere from 5 to 30 Bigfoot got caught up in the landslide and died. That's the rumor that said some Bigfoot were... think about that. Like, you know, as far as... I mean, you were just talking about it earlier, about the heat, you know, flushing out animals up there where you saw the bear and the bobcat.
Like, well, so much for animals knowing ahead of time if something weird is going on with the environment, if they got burnt up by the earthquake.
That's true.
The volcano.
Yeah. But
also, if they're interdimensional travelers, wouldn't they just go through the portal?
See, I'm not convinced that they're interdimensional travelers. We talked about that a little bit. On the.
That's where I'm going back to, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so there's a lot of different stories of people working for, like, the Army Corps of Engineers or the National Guard who saw what they did, basically, Reader's Digest version, is the Army Corps of Engineers was involved and the National Guard and some other agencies were there to basically collect all the dead animals. And they had giant piles of deer, giant piles of elk, other piles of stuff, and there's two or three stories.
Like a crazy buffet. A pile of deer, pile of elk. What you hungry for?
There's a few stories of people who worked on that site that day that say they also saw piles of Sasquatch. Several of the bodies, Bigfoot researchers have been told, were reportedly found on the 105-mile-long Cowlitz River in the Cascade Mountains. Military helicopters were said to have been flown into the area, later exited with the corpses of several large, hairy, ape-like animals hanging from those powerful cargo nets. You know, the helicopters, you know, like when they airlift somebody out or whatever. They got these huge cargo nets being hauled by helicopters, and a lot of reports of people seeing some, like, ape-like creatures.
Why were they categorized afterwards? Why were they sorted out in piles?
That's a good question. Like the deer and the elk. Like, yeah, who why do those need?
Yeah, why are they taking them out? Like, just
Oh, they're taking them out to burn them so that they don't spread disease and stuff. They can't just have a thousand rotting elk, you know, at the base of that mountain.
I reckon that makes sense.
In 2012, a story surfaced from a former National Guardsman who maintained that he was actually on site when at least some of the Bigfoot recoveries occurred. Under cover of extensive secrecy, incredibly, he claimed that not all of the retrieved Bigfoot were dead. Some were burned and injured, and a few were dead. Get this. He also claimed that the military had assistance from one or two of the unharmed Bigfoot that helped guide the military personnel to the site where the other injured Bigfoot lay. So what he's saying, this National Guardsman says that he saw a bunch of dead Bigfoot, but he also saw one or two. And there's a couple of stories that imply this, that some of the military dudes were communicating with one or two live Bigfoot. So, and those Bigfoot were taking them deep into the mountain in the areas where other Bigfoot were.
In the midst of the tragedy, like, all right, I guess we'll get along with it. The Bigfoot's like, all right, listen, shit's rough right now. Yeah, I'm real.
Seriously, there's some stories. There was one I was reading where this guy,
people don't realize that Chupacabra is one of the first responders during 9/11. When a national tragedy hits, all the cryptids, they get over it. They realize, listen, we got to come together as a community.
Get this. All right, there's this one story where the guys...
You don't realize that during Katrina, so many Mothmen were there.
This guy says that he showed up. He was summoned to go help with this tragedy. And this one guy was talking about, this National Guardsman, said he showed up to kind of the base camp. And there's a bunch of National Guardsmen up there, and they're all working. And there was a big tent set up. Right. Mm-hmm. And then the head honcho of this project came out of the tent, and following the commander was a Bigfoot who was in the tent. Like they had a meeting in this tent. So the commander comes out of the tent and followed by a 7.5 foot tall Sasquatch, and the commander and the Bigfoot, I'm not making this up, I mean, this could be total
somebody
bullshit. The commander and the Bigfoot got into a truck or a Jeep and drove off, and they were communicating. The commander was speaking in weird, somehow verbally communicating.
Bigfoot is like, all right, yeah, let me just get in the car. Like, Bigfoot opened the door to a car.
They say he got in the back.
Bigfoot moved the seat back because he knew. Bigfoot is like, what is this, a Suburban? No, it's got the lever under the front of the seat. God damn it, man.
He hit his head. He was trying to get in.
His head's out the sunroof. Real cartoon.
Hey, guys. It's me, Dave, and there's Kyle.
I'm here.
Kyle's here. I want to let you know that today's episode of The Boogie Monster brought to you by Empty Faces. It's a new entertainment experience. Empty Faces. You become a character inside their story, and you try to stop unspeakable evil. Like you're a detective or a paranormal investigator. It's interactive, and it is very detailed.
Like an improv truth that's all mute. Unspeakable evil.
Oh, there you go.
See where I went with it?
I like that. It's cool, man. It feels real. It's a monthly subscription. Each month you get more clues, items, correspondence are delivered to you.
I'm holding a stack of letters.
Yeah, there's all these crazy
video,
letters.
Copied letters. It's like, yeah, it's like you're inside. I feel like when the game, it's like the, you ever see the movie The Game?
Yes, Michael Douglas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It gets you caught up in it. Yeah. If you want to just let your imagination go, you get to be a part of this stuff.
Yep. Yeah, it's delivered to you each month, and you build up to a thrilling conclusion. It's basically like a TV show you can touch. So you can do Empty Faces.
Is that your words?
No, it's their words.
Like a TV show you can touch.
It's on the copy. You can do Empty Faces with friends for like game night. You could join their online community to swap
theories. I tried to touch Baywatch once when I was 12.
You can swap theories, ideas with other folks playing the game. And it looks fun. Like we're looking at it right now. It's a cool feature. They also have online resources to help you track your progress and to give you hints. And but it's not for the faint of heart. It's scary. It's creepy. There's a lot going on. It's a lot of fun. More people joining every day, so get in early. And they wanted me to tell you this. They only accept 200 new members each day. So go to the website and get involved before before they hit their
tally. It seems like a true show that was out?
True Detective.
Yeah, like a True Detective role-playing game.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you're one of the guys, and you got a box of clues.
Yeah,
and
there's letters in there.
Codes, clues. Like a page full of codes. So you could be into that. Like if you want to be like one of those guys and, you know... Why not? With everything else in the world that you cosplay and get into, why wouldn't you want to be like a creepy detective searching a serial? I don't even know if it's a serial.
Yeah, and this is like cosplay that I could get into.
Yeah.
They give you, in the package they sent us, there's like sage, there's a necklace with,
it's got some spooky stuff.
Yeah, man, very cool. Emptyfaces.com, you get 10% off your first box when you use the code Boogie, B-O-O-G-I-E. Code Boogie at emptyfaces.com. And, man, looks fun.
Yeah, let's get weird with it.
Figure some stuff out. Scare yourself in the process.
Go figure out your life.
Yeah, it's like a TV show you can touch.
That, you know what? Now it makes more sense. Uh-huh.
Or a video game that's not video.
All right, just stop while you're ahead.
Yeah, I tried. Yeah. emptyfaces.com/code Boogie. Not slash, but emptyfaces.com, and then enter code Boogie. And, you get 10% off your first box. So get into it. So apparently, not only did they recover some bodies of dead Bigfoot, but there was one or two alive Bigfoot that were assisting in the recovery effort, and they were working hand in hand with the National Guard and the Army Corps of Engineers.
All right. Do you believe this?
I don't know. I want to believe it. all right. There's this lady named Linda Coyle Suchy. She wrote a book called "Who's Watching You." It's an exploration of the Bigfoot phenomenon of the Pacific
Northwest.
Who's
watching you? That's like a G-rated biggie.
She addressed,
who shot you?
She addressed several stories from the Mount St. Helens eruption, resulting in possibly dead Bigfoot. One account from Suchy's book, it details a Mr. Bradshaw. As Mr. Bradshaw said that his father...
Bradshaw's a good handle.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Bradshaw,
like a
get
guy
over
for
here.
A guy you want to take seriously.
Bradshaw, grab that Bigfoot. Both you guys get over here.
All right, Bradshaw.
Bradshaw's father was a supervisor at this place called Weyerhaeuser. I don't know exactly what Weyerhaeuser did, but after the eruption, his dad was sent up to the Spirit Lake area to help keep curious townspeople. There were after the eruption, people in nearby towns were curious. They were coming up trying to see what's going on. This Bradshaw's dad was assigned to kind of keep people out of this specific area, and it was a helicopter landing zone. Nobody's in and out. Just keep everybody out. He describes how the National Guard collected the carcasses of dead animals in heaps, piled them up high for eventual cremation. He said deer in one pile, elk in another, and so on. The corpses were covered with tarps. Mr. Bradshaw was placed
in piles.
I don't. It's just easier to keep track.
That doesn't sound easy at all.
Imagine just a.
There's all these dead animals. Also, by the way, sort them out.
Oh, wait. That's a deer in the elk pile. Get that one out of here. Mr. Bradshaw was placed in charge of one pile of dead animals
in
particular.
Kill them all. Let Bradshaw sort them out.
So he's in charge of these piles of dead animals, right, Mr. Bradshaw? This one pile in particular, the pile was covered. No one was allowed to come near it. Armed U.S. National Guard personnel, they were guarding this pile. On the day that they were going to move this group of bodies, Bradshaw was standing very close to a pile, was told to keep his mouth closed about what he was about to witness. When the tarps were removed, he was amazed to see that the bodies were those of Sasquatch. Some badly burned, some not so bad. They were placed in a large net, lifted into the back of a truck, which was then tarped over. Bradshaw asked a guardsman what would happen to the bodies. The guardsman replied, quote, "They'll study them or whatever. I don't want to know." Later that day, Bradshaw and the rest of the debriefed personnel, they were told not to ever speak of what they witnessed that day, and they were sent home. So that is an account from...
So there's Bigfoot bones somewhere.
Linda Coyle Suchy's book.
There's Bigfoot bones in the world.
Got to be some up there. One more quick story from Suchy's book, Linda Coyle Suchy. She says another account details some dredging in the Cowlitz River 2 months after the blast. So 2 months later, they're dredging the Cowlitz River kind of at the base of Mount St. Helens. In this account, two Bigfoot corpses were found in the sand, and a helicopter associated with the Army Corps of Engineers came and removed the bodies. Connected to that story, Suchy describes a story where a man visiting his aunt, who lived outside of Spokane near Fairchild Air Force Base, he saw a large double-rotor helicopter fly over about 150 feet above him with a cargo net hanging below that contained at least three dead Bigfoot bodies. Hairy, gray, ash-covered arms and legs were seen. He said, quote, "I got a real good look at them." He reported the sighting to several federal agencies and then received threatening phone calls.
This undermines the intelligence and deceptiveness of a Bigfoot.
How so?
That we think they're so sneaky that nobody's ever seen one. Yet one volcano.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't like in tune with the earth.
That's a great question because, you know, you always hear those stories. No, actually,
they're out there trying to get all their animal friends out. Unless it's truly a benign creature and he's out there trying to be like, no, deer's this way, elk that way. Then, you know, everybody.
They're going to put you in different piles anyway.
You're going to be separated. Divided we fall, I'll tell you.
Oh, man.
Well, this is kind of sad that they're all.
Yeah, that is sad. I mean, you always hear those stories about, you know, animals, certain animals know when shit's coming down the pike.
Yeah.
But actually, I saw a YouTube video not long ago of some surveillance footage of like I don't know if it was a cat hospital or what, but it was like 30 seconds before the tsunami hit. Where was that big tsunami down in Thailand or somewhere?
Well, there was the one in Japan, and then there's the one in.
It's one of those.
Yeah, like the resort community.
Well, it's just a video. It's like a stationary surveillance video of these cats freaking the fuck out about 30 seconds before the earthquake and the tsunami hit.
See, I feel like that's something like they say animals can tell, you know, that's a good indicator that mm-hmm. things are going to go south is if the animals are starting to act screwy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what time frame, you know. When animals I saw, they weren't acting screwy. The bear was just doing bear stuff. I just saw it.
But if you think about a volcano eruption, all right, let's say the Bigfoot did have some sense of it was about to go down.
Yeah.
Let's say you had a 30-second, 60-second head start. You're still screwed. You know, if he's just sprinting down the mountain a minute before the eruption, that he's still going to get swept up in that shit.
But that's saying how many did they think they saw then?
Some stories say 4 or 5. Some stories say up to 50.
Even if it's 4 or 5 and it's screwed up, how many square footage, how many swimming pools worth of land?
1,000 Olympic swimming pools full of debris. I think it was 1,000.
But there's that many that died,
mm-hmm.
but still nobody's taking a clear picture of one. There's that many in that area.
Mm-hmm.
That got caught off guard by a volcano,
mm-hmm.
which if they're smart, they know they live on a volcano. But still nobody, not a good picture. They're that much smarter than us.
Mm-hmm.
They can outsmart us. Well, I mean, that's not, I mean, I'm not totally in disbelief over this mm-hmm. one.
I got some more stories here. I was looking on a blog called theconspiracyblog.com. And this guy, what's his name? I forgot this. Sean, somebody runs this conspiracyblog.com. And somebody wrote in to him with an interesting story. And I'm reading this directly from his blog. "Dear Sean, I was reading some of the stories about Mount St. Helens eruption on the message boards. Wanted to share this story. I was a National Guardsman at Mount St. Helens site. First time I had ever spoken about what I saw firsthand. I lived in Spokane, Washington. I was 24 at the time this all took place. He says, I was placed on a special cleanup crew farther up the mountain. A large tent was set up. It was guarded by armed soldiers who were not part of the National Guard. There were numerous soldiers on the scene that were not members of the Guard. They were given a briefing. He was given a briefing by a soldier who said, quote, after he spoke to us, we should forget about everything we saw this day. Myself and four other guardsmen were told to follow a group of soldiers, not to speak to each other, and to remain very quiet overall. We were told to get in the Jeep and wait. We sat in the Jeep for maybe half an hour. Eventually, oh, this might be the story I was talking about. Eventually, another Jeep arrived carrying a civilian and another member of the military. The civilian was brought into the tent, and he emerged a few minutes later, followed by a large, hairy creature. It looked like a large man covered in fur, and the best way to describe it was like the Beast from X-Men, only brown. The creature looked to have some burns and had a bandage on his arm. So Bigfoot had already received some first aid. He had a bandage on his arm. At first, we were afraid, but when it walked by, we could see its eyes, and it just looked very sad and somber. He climbed into the back of a pickup with a civilian, and the two were speaking in a weird language I had never heard before.
The back of a pickup makes more sense. So this wild ape beast sat down for some EMT.
They took his blood pressure.
Yeah, he's in there. He's getting a little hammer on the knee, a little tiny hammer on his giant knees to test his reflexes. Well, I just looked up Mount St. Helens Bigfoot. Do you know about the 1924 Bigfoot battle on Mount St. Helens?
I did read a little bit about that. You want to refresh my memory?
You bringing that into it? Well, no. I'm just looking it up. You're the research man. Okay.
No, I read that, but it's not really connected to this story.
Which is the 1924 group of gold prospectors. So I don't trust any gold prospector. Anytime they're just like a prospector, so I don't that's like believing somebody who plays the lottery as a profession.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, no.
Varying degrees of, like, there's geologists who could probably tell where there's more of a likelihood that gold might exist, but I think you would call yourself a geologist. Somebody just going, hey, I'm going to find it, and then that's their life. That's somebody like, the Powerball. Like, I don't trust prospector stories. Bunch of whiskey drunk hillbillies climbing around in the dirt, chipping at rocks, thinking they're going to strike it rich. So these, yeah, stumbled out of the woods, shaking glass the eye to tell the 7-foot-tall ape-like animals attacking them with boulders.
Uh huh.
1924. When was the Patterson Gimlets?
67.
Gimlers? Gimels?
Patterson Gimlin.
67. So this is 24. 1924. But they said they saw these Bigfoot type things and they attacked them. So anyway, that's in the area. And that's from 1924.
Yeah.
So are these stories of the dead Bigfoot just a layover from all the folklore of the area already?
I mean, this is 1980. This is recent, you know, relatively speaking, to where there's still people alive today who were on scene when all this happened. Let me finish reading this this story from the National Guardsman real quick.
Give it a rip.
Let's see. Okay. He saw Bigfoot and the commander hop in the truck. He said, we followed the truck to different areas. There were 5 total stops. Each time we stopped, we were told to follow the civilian and the creature. Each time we followed them to rocky areas where there were caves, the creature would make a sound and then listen. So this Bigfoot is taking these guys to find other possibly injured or dead Bigfoot. Creature would make a sound, then he would listen. At the first area, he made a sound. We all just waited in silence. After a few minutes, the creature looked at the civilian and then at the ground. The civilian at one point touched its shoulder and called for a canteen to give the creature a drink. So I guess Bigfoot's drinking out of a canteen.
So Bigfoot just now knows what a canteen is. Now knows what a screw top is.
A few minutes later, 2 soldiers emerged from the cave carrying a badly burned creature, just like the one with the civilian. The creature bent down next to it, looked it over for about 5 minutes. It then spoke softly with the civilian. It turned and walked back to the truck, and we were told to follow. As we were walking away, we heard a shot, and we knew it was one of the soldiers putting the injured creature out of its misery.
What's sad?
He said there was no response at the 3rd or 4th sight, but at the 5th, there was another return sound. They went to a fifth site. He made a sound. There was a call and response. He says this time it was different. Soldiers carried out a creature with a badly burned left leg. We were then ordered to all help get a very large stretcher from the truck and to help place this injured creature.
There's not different size stretchers. There's one size stretcher.
You don't know that.
Bring the Bigfoot stretcher. There's not different. There's one stretcher. Ugh, no.
I mean, this is pretty outlandish.
Yes, it is. Those are the details you got to look for. Get the large stretcher. There's one size. Bring the big ambulance.
Bring the big ambulance.
It's not.
Oh, God.
It's one size. Fuck.
What else do we got here?
Get, you know, the one that would fit a creature that we didn't think existed last week. You know the one we're talking to now?
Lauren Coleman is a well-known cryptozoologist. He did an interview with a columnist named Scott Bowen. And he said Scott Bowen was asking Lauren Coleman, who is a cryptozoologist, who you would, I don't know, do all cryptozoologists believe in Bigfoot? Be odd if you were a cryptozoologist.
And is that a real thing from a? Yeah, that they study like ancient.
Mm-hmm. A snippet from that interview. Lauren Smith, quote: "Really, the military could care less. They're not looking for Bigfoot.
It's pseudoscience.
They're looking for spies, terrorists, even illegal immigrants. It's not that the government and military services are stupid. It's that they only have so much brain power and memory, both technically and legally. That is closer to the truth." It's not an overt cover-up, said Coleman. It's, quote, it's what happens in bureaucracies and government. It's not a cover-up. There are simply disconnects. So Lauren Coleman thinks that there is no...
Did they just say...
No cover-up.
They're not stupid. They just don't have enough brains to understand something. Was that their...
That is what he said.
That was the passive-aggressive... Fucking slap they just threw down. Quote, on somebody.
It's not that the government and military services are stupid. It's that they have only so much brain power and memory, both technically and legally.
Yeah, that's what calling
that,
someone.
Yeah, that is kind of stupid.
That's a smart person going, I'm not calling you stupid, but you're stupid. And you be not being smart going, yeah, see, he doesn't think I'm stupid.
You ever gotten into that argument with a girlfriend? Like, no, I'm not calling you a bitch. I'm saying you're acting like a bitch. You ever done that one?
No, to not even get close to that one.
A lot of semantics.
Yeah, I just, do I just walk backwards on a lot of those arguments.
So, yeah, man, I don't know if I believe the part about Bigfoot being a...
all of a sudden just being a pal? Just being a buddy?
Being a liaison between the military and the other injured Bigfoot. But, I mean, it makes sense, you know? If a volcano erupts, it wipes out hundreds, if not thousands, of animals, you know, and especially a location like Mount St. Helens up in Washington, Pacific Northwest, where it's supposed to be the highest... concentration of Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Who's to say that volcano didn't take out a couple dozen Bigfoot?
Well, yeah, okay. Yeah, I just, the account, that's the thing. Like, that's a believable idea.
Mm-hmm.
That if Bigfoot exists and a disaster happened, that they would have casualties like anything else. But everybody else said, yeah. And then there was one Bigfoot that was like, oh, no, it's me. I'm cool. And let me just hang out.
Well, all right, let's suppose this is...
What if Bigfoot was a failed super soldier project?
That's what I was about to say. Suppose this is... Let's just pretend this is true. This story about...
It was a militarized, weaponized human ape hybrid.
So we had some... There's a background. There's a history between Bigfoot
that
and the military.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking. Is that a theory?
Because if this story is true, I doubt that
Bigfoot
these military personnel just showed up and immediately started a rapport with this wild mythical beast. You know, if they're having some sort of communication, some sort of rapport, some sort of cooperation where he's helping them find other Bigfoot, that tells me that they have a history with these.
Look at Bigfoot as a military weapon. Now there's like Bigfoot sightings in Vietnam. Oh, we can go down this. We might have a few more episodes on this one.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating.
Okay, that's something I never thought about. Bigfoot as a failed weapon. You know, weaponized human ape hybrid.
Well,
failed clone technologies.
Ooh.
You know, early days of clone technologies. But the folklore goes back too long.
Yeah. But maybe they have.
If you want to believe in aliens, they feel like they've had contact and communication with them.
Yeah. Yeah. You always hear, well, Bigfoot exists. How come we found a body? Maybe anytime there is a body discovered, either by, you know, a civilian or whomever, maybe military swoops in. You know, maybe they're not going to leave any dead Bigfoot just laying around. They're going to.
What is it? People don't find dead bear bodies.
Yeah, that's something I read one time. That science has never found the remains of a naturally deceased bear.
Oh, I just got woman's body found in Big Bear Lake. Just drove past that
recently.
Hiker killed in bear attack. I don't want to read about that. Oh boy! I just was hanging out with.
Oh
a bear.
Boy!
Man's remains. I just wrote no bear body found. And, oh my God, the first thing, woman's body found in Big Bear Lake, hiker killed in bear attack, body found partially eaten, man's remain found in killed bear's stomach, human remains found in Japan bear shot after 4 attacks, man trying to take selfie dies after being mauled by a bear. It's just so much, oh God, I didn't want to know about any of this.
Oh, I did hear about that recently. The guy trying to take a selfie with a bear.
Oh yeah, good luck.
Good job.
Adios, man. We got a lot of people.
There you go. Just more people dying.
Where was this
at?
Oh no, yeah, there's a video of it. Where was this? Where it was in India. Yeah, well, there's too many people in the world. Okay, all right. You know what? I feel like maybe there was some sort of government secret.
Yeah, man.
All right, I'm gonna go with a not so sure on this one. I'm not gonna go with a solid no.
Okay. No solid no.
I mean, something. I don't know how much it, like, they were hanging out like friends.
I mean, to me, that's the outlandish part of the story. Like, I could totally see, you know, Bigfoot getting swept up by a volcano, and then there being some bodies hanging around, and the government swooping in and taking them because, you know, disclosure. You know, they don't want us to know about Bigfoot. But the fact that
Planet of the Apes type thing,
that this friggin' military dude was communicating with them, and he's just riding shotgun.
Well, yeah, all of a sudden we got a language. All of a sudden we got a language that we can talk with. We've had domesticated dogs for hundreds of years. Nobody can talk to them. But all of a sudden, Ape Man. Oh, here, we'll rock, paper, scissors for a last Band-Aid. No, fucking no. But those Bigfoot sightings of the Vietnam War, that's an interesting thing.
Really?
We'll keep that on for the next one.
Okay.
Hey, who knows what all those guys doing a bunch of acid in the jungle, afraid for their lives, may have seen. That's what, do you, like, people, like would just, they, like, pot use was so rampant.
Mm-hmm.
I can't smoke pot in my house without being terrified. And it was smoke pot in the jungle, and also maybe there's just NVA troops everywhere that are going to kill me.
Yeah.
That's, I'm paranoid of, like...
Yeah, I can't do stand-up.
Clicks and dings that happen in my house. And it sounds like I was about to say racist things in my head because I said clicks and dings.
Oh.
Speaking of clicks and dings, the Vietnam War was rough...
These clicks and dings.
That perplexed. Must have been shitty weed.
Yeah, it must have been.
You could still, like, not lose your goddamn mind in the jungle in the middle of the night. I think that I found one ant on me, and I freak out about bugging. Then you're in the jungle. Anyway. All right.
Any more mosquito issues?
I haven't seen any now. No. There was ants here for a minute, and then they were gone. I found, like, a couple ants, and then I'm like, oh, that means there's going to be more ants. And I ordered ant traps. But for some reason, I thought it was Amazon Prime. Like, oh, you'll get it in a week and a half. I'm like, I got ants now. I need it now. But now there's no ants. And I still don't have the ant traps. So maybe everybody came to a deal. All right, let's bring it home.
Bring it home? You want to land this helicopter full of squatch?
Imagine the smell of a burnt Sasquatch.
Oh, boy.
It's a rough batch. That is a rough batch.
Got a recipe to share today.
What you got, Dave?
I mentioned this last week.
What you fitting around?
Last week when I was up having a few days for the birthday, kicking it up at Katie's family's mountain cabin. I was in a real seafood mood. So I made just a total freestyle ad lib seafood stew. And I'll explain what I did. Just a real general version here. No measurements, no nothing. Just kind of that's a great thing about stews, Kyle. You can just kind of have fun. Just see where the stew takes you.
Well, even if it gets too mushy, put it over noodles. Put it over rice.
Yeah, no big deal. All right, I made a base. My stew for my base for the stew. I took about two onions and I peeled them and quartered them. And threw them in a little like casserole dish. Throw them in a cast iron skillet, casserole dish, whatever. Throw you in a few onions, and then I had like 10 cloves of garlic. So I roasted those in the oven for about an hour, about 400 degrees for about
roasted onions and garlic.
Yeah, so you gotta start with that. Then
Olive oil on them, nothing.
Yeah, I put a little olive oil in them.
Okay,
just to keep them from drying out. But roast you up some onions and garlic. Throw them in a pan. Throw them in the oven for about 40, 50, 60 minutes. About 400 degrees. Get a nice little char on those suckers. And then I threw that shit in a blender and made a puree.
Okay.
Also,
garlic onion jam. You ever have like an onion jam? Like, you go to this jam and jelly places at like a farmer's market or a jalapeno jam.
I don't think I have. I've had pepper jelly.
Pepper jelly, yeah.
I've had bacon jam.
Stuff like that. Oh, yeah. Well, Albert. Yeah. Rachel was down at the Albert eating good.
Oh, did she? Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Enough props given to the Albert.
They treat you right down there.
But yeah, like jam, like made out of non-traditional, you think sweet jam, but not like an onion jam. Or this I love it.
Like good a chutney.
Spread.
Yeah.
Yeah, chutney.
So I took the onions and garlic, threw them in a blender, and here's what else I did. I cracked open a tin of smoked oysters. So I threw the onions, garlic in a whole tin, just like small 3-ounce tin of smoked oysters, threw that shit in the blender, made it a puree. Boom. That's my base. Now, that's going into the stock pot.
Oyster puree.
Mm-hmm. Get a little smokiness, a little fishiness, a little umami, a little deep, deep flavor. Ugh. We've talked about deep flavors.
Yeah.
And that's my porn name, Deep Flavor.
That's but, not even a pun.
Yeah.
No. My porn name is Huge Dick. It's got to be a play on words or something. My porn name is I'll Eat Your Asshole. There's no creativity to that.
Oh, I try. So that's my base. Pureed onions, garlic, and smoked oysters. And then I added some beer. No water. When I'm cooking a stew or a chili or a gumbo, get the fuck out of here with the water. I'm not going to just add water. I'm going to add some beer, some bourbon, some wine.
Flavor. So many other liquids.
Deep flavor, baby. Yeah, got to get that flavor. So anyway, added some beer to it. I don't know how much, just, till you get the consistency you want. And then I just threw in, I got some crab meat. I got some shrimp. I smoked some cod. I will admit, don't worry about smoking any fish and throwing it in there. It overpowered it a little bit. So
if you smoke the fish.
Yeah, I like anything smoked, but I was just like,
Smokes. My neighbor used to smoke salmon all the time. Mm-hmm.
I like smoked salmon.
Yeah, early taste for smoked salmon. Mm-hmm. Does it take long to smoke fish?
No,
it shouldn't, right?
No. Like
fish cooks quick.
Throw it in there like an hour compared to like smoking a pork shoulder. That's like 12 hours or ribs or whatever. Anyway, so I threw in some, I smoked some cod earlier in the morning. You could just get any kind of fish, whatever fish you want. Just chop it up in little chunks, throw it in there. Some some shrimp, some crab meat. I then also, oh, I forgot to mention, I also roasted some red and green bell peppers. So I threw that into the puree. So basically, just have some fun with it. I threw in some corn, just a bag of frozen corn niblets.
We had corn on the cob on the grill last night. Oh. And I forgot how much corn on the cob is the shit.
Oh, it's the best. Oh.
Man, I love a corn on the cob.
Especially like some Mexican street corn. A little Parmesan cheese, mayonnaise, chili powder.
I think it's Nate Craig calling me. Nate Craig needs to learn a goddamn text message. And change your plan. You're on a Netflix show. Pay for unlimited text.
What show is Nate Craig on?
I don't know. Some shit. But he's like got five episodes. Pay for unlimited. He's like, oh, I think he's too cheap to text message.
Good
people.
For him.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
So, all right. You got your base of peppers, onions, garlic. Oysters, pureed, throw that in there, throw in some beer, then you throw in your seafood, whatever you want, some crab, some shrimp, some whatever fish. And then I threw in a bag of frozen corn niblets. I threw in a bag of frozen okra. And then it's just spices. Throw in some cayenne pepper, some chili powder, salt and pepper, you know, maybe a little cumin. Oh, definitely I threw in a bunch of I had some Old Bay seasoning. We're talking about seafood stew. You got some Old Bay seasoning laying around. Throw that shit in there. But yeah, so and it was good. A little too smoky. Like I should have
too smoky.
Yeah, just seafood's delicate.
That's something I think. Seafood.
For seafood. Now, I've never had barbecue that was too smoky. Like, you just the more smoke, the merrier. But in hindsight, I should have not smoked the cod. But as far as this recipe moving forward, yeah, just have some fun. Make you a base of some roasted pureed veggies, and then some beer. And seafood, and then whatever you want to throw in. I threw in corn, okra, whatever. So
what region would you call that seafood stew? Is that still a southern dish?
No, this was kind of like
a New England type thing?
It was a little bit New England and also a little bit Cajun. You know, with the okra and stuff like that, it had like a Cajun thing, but the Old Bay seasoning.
Little north and south, little brother getting along with brother.
Absolutely. All right. There you go. And and I sliced up some real thin red potatoes, some little baby red potatoes.
They have like a north-south diner? Where it's like southern food and northern food, where they try to like bridge the divide.
I don't even really know what northern food would be, other than like
clam chowder.
Yeah, okay, yeah. If you're talking like New England, yeah. That's true. But yeah, seafood stew. Just have some fun with some seafood. And
have some fun with some seafood.
It's the same day I got those damn lobsters, man. Grilled those up the next day.
All right, man. Now I'm hungry again.
Good times.
I just grilled pre-made shrimp skewers last night. I was proud of myself.
You grilled them?
Yeah.
On your little...
They had a grill over at the Airbnb.
Right, yeah.
Shrimp skewers, just tossed them in a tortilla with some pico de gallo.
Oh, yeah.
And some avocado.
Oh, man.
And it was good. Oh, man. Fish tacos and stuff. Like I said, I'm going to be a fish guy now.
Mm.
I'm going to be a seafood guy.
I've been eating a lot of shrimp lately.
Fuck, I love shrimp. Mm. That's still bad. Shellfish is still supposed to be bad for gout. I'm saying I'm doing this for gout, but I'm still drinking a shit ton of beer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to eat differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we were talking about before you started. You joined a gym. You're trying to change up things.
Yeah, man. Joined a new gym today. And, a little early to talk about my progress, but I'm turning over a new leaf. I got to get healthy. Don't want to mention why, but there's some career opportunities maybe in the mix. And let's just say I got to get camera ready,
Kyle.
There's
nothing yet, Dave. Don't even say that. There's absolutely nothing.
I'm just using that as an excuse to trick myself and like, hey, here's a chance to get in shape.
All right, well, get ready to get disappointed.
Oh, trust me, I'm not. I'm very prepared for the disappointment to follow, but.
I've been watching videos of like baby cows.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting harder to. I'm heading towards that way with the eating meat. Like, oh man.
What videos of baby cows?
Just I'd still be on Reddit and it'd be like, look at this baby cow hanging out with a dog.
Okay, but not like factory farming videos.
No. Like, look how cute and fun this baby cow is. I'm like, I don't want to eat that.
I know. I feel the same way about pigs. Mm-hmm. I follow some Instagram accounts of little baby pigs. And I'm just like.
Again, this conversation we had, when you can go and get, like, the thing is, I still like burgers.
Mm-hmm.
I still like hot dogs. All the people are like, if you don't want to eat meat, why are you eating the fake versions of it? Because I love those things.
Yeah.
The fact that it can be made out of something other than a pig or a cow, but
I'm not
still,
opposed to the taste.
I like a burger. Yeah. I love the taste. Mm-hmm. I love the taste. Mm-hmm. So much so that sometimes I break, I'm like, something's going to have to die because I need that taste.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, why are vampires weird, but you, if you could just eat meat? Because it's people, I guess.
Hmm.
You know, ooh, vampires drink blood. You're eating a fucking steak raw, rare.
Yeah.
But vampires are creepy?
Mm-hmm.
Man. They can only drink human blood, I guess. That's why. Anyway, that's a tangent. All right, so seafood recipes, good stuff.
Let's make you a stew.
What do we want to plug?
Let's do Comic of the Week real quick, and then we'll do our plugs. Comic of the Week, a friend of ours, former L.A. comedian, now living in Los Angeles. Very funny lady. San Francisco to L.A., now in New York. Very funny lady, very pleasant lady.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say good friends, but we did a lot of shows together when she lived here and always had fun times hanging out with Claire O'Kane. Claire O'Kane got a new album out called Let It Be. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's supposed to be, you know.
I think it's hilarious.
Ha ha, that's already been an album. But, Claire O'Kane. O'Kane with a K. So Claire O'Kane. Check out Claire O'Kane. Very funny. Just kind of one of those, like, she's more on the soft spoken side. Just kind of a just kind of soft spoken, but like one of those that, like, if you're hanging out with her at a party, she's not going to be the class clown or the star of the show. But like when she does speak up, it's always funny.
I appreciate comedians that are like, don't have to jam it down your throat. I'm that way. I look back at my youth. I'm like, I was funny. I'm like, no, I was just obnoxious, and I made sure everybody heard me.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean I was funny. So when somebody's just dry and isn't forcing it and is still hilarious, and she gets to open it for Jawbreaker, which is awesome. And I think her album is produced by Steve Albini, maybe.
Really?
Or somebody had an album, or maybe, I don't know, Steve Albini was touring around them. I don't know, there's just a lot of cool stuff.
But yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff.
Check it out, and if you like the album, you know, if you get it off iTunes or wherever you get that stuff and you enjoy it, maybe spring for her special vinyl. She also put it out a really cool vinyl.
She is at Baby's First Gun on Twitter, and she actually went Bigfoot hunting with me when I did that travel show pilot for Comedy Central.
That's right. I remember seeing her in there.
Yeah, so tying it all back. Tying it all back around.
So check out Claire O'Kane, our Comic of the Week. Just want to throw a plug out as far as music, stuff I'm listening to right now.
I was going
to
do that too.
I don't know if I've talked about, I think I've talked about Tyler Childers before. Alt country protege of Sturgill Simpson. I think Sturgill Simpson is the one that kind of discovered him, or I know he produced his first album. Or big album on a decent label, was called Purgatory. It came out about a year ago, but he just put out a live version from some sessions he did at Live at Red Barn Radio. That's the name of the album. And it's just him, solo acoustic. And I'll be honest, as much as I love country and alt country and stuff, sometimes solo acoustic versions of stuff gets a little boring. But not this. This dude, his voice is so great. The songs are so well written. There's just so much substance and heart to these songs. But doesn't really feel like a solo acoustic album. But it is, and it's amazing. Tyler Childers, Live at Red Barn Radio. That's what I've been jamming on this last couple weeks. So if you're into the twang, check that shit out. You will not be disappointed. What you listening to?
I was going to throw a little alt-country shout-out to the Vandaliers, which is a band that I played at a festival with out in Maquoketa, Iowa, back in June. And they were just a fun group of fellas that put on a hell of a show.
Really?
Same vein. We're talking about the same vein and stuff. But the Vandaliers,
they've been recommended to me by several people, and I'm ashamed to say I have not yet checked them out, but I definitely
were just good dudes to hang out with and just, you know, be in a barn in the middle of Iowa, spacing out together, and put on a hell of a damn show.
Cool.
Old Sam Talent got up and played guitar with them.
Really?
They just had like a big freak out at the end of their show, like just whatever you want to play. He just played a Misfits song over like their chaos that they were ending the show with. Yeah, it was real good stuff.
That's awesome.
All right, we'll put a lot of heads up out there for folks on that.
Yeah, man. What are we plugging? What shows you got coming up?
What's coming out?
We're doing a show together Thursday, if you're in LA.
Thursday at the Sycamore Tavern, 8:30, I think.
Yeah, me, you, Bronger, a few other
folks.
That's
a big old fun show.
Adam Ray.
Yeah. Other people are like, hey, you want to do it? I'm like, normally you put like two sets in a night. Mm-hmm. I don't do three, but I'll put two in. And that, for some reason, everybody's been hitting me up by the 16th. I'm like, nah, I want to hang out at this show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go do other stuff. I want to watch this show.
So, yeah, we're on that together. What else you got coming up as far as road stuff?
Man, I'm at Old Crawford's Chicken tomorrow night in Burbank.
Oh, right. I saw that.
Yeah, I'm at Crawford's Chicken and the Pleasure Chest, not to deny one over the other. No favorites here. Just got a couple sets. Pack Theater on Wednesday. Man, these are all L.A. dates. What are you going to do? Next week, Pittsburgh, Bethlehem, Richmond, D.C., all that bullshit. Huntington Beach on the 25th. That's Rec cool. Room, that's a good spot down there.
I haven't been down there yet.
Oh, yeah, Rec Room. Old Hunter Hills spot.
I don't have the exact, I can't find the venue info, but I'll be in Tampa, Florida on September 19th. I'll be in Jacksonville, Florida September 20th. And then I'll be posting that stuff. But Tampa, Jacksonville, and then September 22nd, headlining Saturday night of the Cola Comedy Con, Columbia, South Carolina. I'll be at the New Brooklyn Tavern.
That's
the 22nd.
In September.
Yep, and you'll be there the following night. Yeah. I don't know what venue you're playing, but you're doing that festival on the 23rd.
Yeah, and we're gonna have a new Patreon for people coming up in a few days.
Yep.
Here.
Yeah, we got to knock that out. Dave's Kitchen will be back in action soon. We missed last month due to my absence, but I got a nice recipe coming up for you here soon on the Patreon page. Patreon.com/BoogieMonster.
Fucking A right, man.
Hell yeah, dude.
Let's figure out what Bigfoot showed up in Vietnam.
Look into that. That could be fun.
Wearing like an American flag headband.
I was just about to say. He's got on a sleeveless.
Yeah, which side was he on?
Yeah.
I mean, he already lives there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll figure it out.
All right. I feel like we should plug our social media stuff, but I don't know.
Oh, you
know
mean
where
the things we don't answer?
I respond. I All try right. to respond.
Social media is Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we're on them. There. Done.
All right. Holler at you boys.
The Boogie Monster.